As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the story of the the kid that was raised kind of, he was a rancher kid and kind of a little bit backwoods, but he went to medical school and became a doctor, and he was a little bit, he was pretty country, so he had a hard time getting hired as a doctor, and so he decided to open up his own clinic. So he opened up the clinic, and he put on the sign, $20, cure anything. If you're not cured, you get $100 back. And so I was some hotshot lawyer walking by. I thought it was, man, this is easy money here. So he went to him one day, and he says, Doc, I lost my taste. So the doctor says, Nurse, get box 22, three drops. So box 22, open it up, put three drops in the guy's tongue. And the guy says, oh, that's disgusting. That's gasoline. Doc says, oh, you're cured, $20. So lawyer leaves kind of irritated, and he comes back a few days later and thinks he's got him this time. He says, Doc, I lost my memory. And Doc says, Nurse, box 22, three drops. He said, no, that's kerosene. That's gasoline. You gave it to me last time. He says, memory cured, $20. So he's irritated, so he thinks about it for a couple weeks, and he finally, he's got it now. He goes back in, and he says, hey, Doc, I lost my sight. I can't see anything. And Doc comes and haws around. He says, I can't fix that. Takes $20 bill and says, here's your $100. The guy says, that's a $20 bill. He says, eyesight cured, $20. Got the best lawyer all three times, but that has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon. So let's turn over to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, we'll start in the first verse. It said, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted, streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this chance we have to look into your word, Lord. I pray that the things that I speak this morning are what you're after and what you want me to speak, Lord, and that your message might get through. Lord, I thank you so much for the love you've given us. Thank you for the love of the brethren that we have, Lord. And I thank you for just the commitment that the brethren have to helping to grow your kingdom. Lord, I thank you so much for the sacrifice that Jesus is for us, and that we have that opportunity to be with you forever. Thank you for Jesus, and we pray things in his name. Amen. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to kind of look at the idea of having a good solid foundation or a good solid root system and kind of staying in that. And I think to do that, we're going to just show an example of a good foundation here in a couple of spots. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it reads here, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll be there for a minute. Starting in verse 4. It says, and coming to him as to a living... I'm going to start that over. And coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. So we see here that if we want to have a good solid foundation, we need to look to Jesus. Because he is that cornerstone. He is that solid rock. A couple weeks back, Jay and I and the kids had a chance to go to Billings. We went over to Mikkel and Jill Bree's house for supper, and they had them the bigger Legos. They're not really. I don't know if they're even Legos per se, but they're like blocks locked together. But they're like a couple inches in size, and the kids were trying to build towers out of them, and they kept building them up and up and up, and they just kept falling over and things. But eventually, they built it. Wider at the bottom and made a solid base, and they put somebody on the ground and they held that. And then they built it up and they kept building up, and it got pretty tall. I don't even think Lena would have been able to reach the top. So it was a good solid 4.5 feet. They built that all the way up the top, and they had to hold it in a few spots up because they still built it narrow, but the base was still solid. And it was able to build much higher than they were when they were just trying to stay on the same size at the bottom. So they figured out the base system and something that was anchored to it to hold it steady, and the tower was able to grow. And they continued to build it until I don't know who knocked it over or what happened, but they got knocked over and whatnot. So, but the foundation has to be there. You can't build a tower if you don't have a good base. It's got to be there. And if you build a house, same thing. You can't have a bad foundation if you're going to have a solid house. It doesn't work. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we'll read verse 6 and 7. Starting in verse 6, it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude." There's a spot on the ranch, and a lot of you have seen it this summer. Maybe not a lot of you. Me and Kirk and Dad have seen it, and probably Larry this summer. I don't know if you've noticed it or not. But in one of our pastures there, I cut the road to make it more level going up a canyon, and there was a sagebrush at the top of that, and I cut that down pretty far, and we've cut it over the years, so there's kind of a bank there, and I don't know what it is. It's probably 5-6 feet, but the sagebrush is on top of that bank, and I exposed the root when I scraped away the dirt there, and that root goes all the way down to the road and down further, so the root is probably, I mean, there's 5-6 feet of the root exposed. You can see it from the side, and it's still going down. And so when you think about that, that bush, the sagebrush, is not really that big of a bush when you think about size, but the root system going down was tremendously long and extensive. And if you've ever tried to pull a sagebrush out of the ground, it's pretty much impossible. The best way to do it is to burn it or beat it with an axe or something, but you're not, they're tough. They're really strong. And you can't just grab them and pull them out of the ground. What you do is you end up ripping them if you do, but you can't do it with your hands, really. But that anchor, that root system, is deep, and it's solid, and that's why that can't be moved. And it's the same way when we're in Christ. Like, we might be young babes, we might just be a first plant, but it's small and growing. But if you look at underneath the dirt, there is an anchor system there, and there is a root system that goes in the depths of the ground that makes it nearly impossible to uproot. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, that's Luke. John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus says here, he says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from him, apart from that root system, that sagebrush will completely fall over. And now that I've exposed that root system, I imagine that the next summer that sagebrush is probably going to die. because the root system has been exposed and it's been pulled out and it's not there. But when that dirt is there and when that root is in the ground, that is Jesus. That is Jesus holding us there. And we are the bush that's growing on top. And if we are connected to Him, we stay connected to Him, we're going to be really hard to uproot. It's going to be really hard to pull us out. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, familiar verse here. Starting verse 2. It says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Verse 2 there is interesting. The starting of that, or the middle of that, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when?" You see, if we're going to be in Christ and we're going to be Christians, and in fact, if you're just going to be in this world, you are going to have trials. There's going to be trials sometime. It doesn't say, if you have troubles, brethren, if you have trials, if you can, if trials come to your calling, it says when you encounter trials. It says when. And when we think about that, we know that trials are coming our way. We know that bad things happen to people in this world, whether you're a good person or you're a bad person, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, all the things. But when those trials come, what's going to matter is what is underneath the dirt that cannot be seen and what we are attached to. It's not going to be the leaves that are on top of the ground and the fruit that's there. It's going to be what we are anchored to that keeps us there. When the sheep come and they destroy, try to eat the sagebrush, when the cows come and they rub on it, when the four-wheeler comes and drives over it, the thing that's going to keep the sagebrush coming back is the root that's in the ground. And us as Christians, when the trials come, it's not going to be the fancy music or the great preaching or the amazing brunch. It's not going to be those things that hold us there. Those things in and of themselves have good and offer things and help us to grow and do different things. But what holds us there is the root system that we are attached to. And that root system is Jesus. I've told the story before, but Hernan Cortez, he was the commander of the fleet that tried to, they came in 1519, that they landed on the beaches there to take over the Aztec Empire. And when they got on the land, he ordered the men to burn the ships. And burning the ships has now become a famous motivational idea and things. But when he did that, the purpose of burning the ships was that there was no retreat. It was a do or it was a die mission. What they were going to do there was no turning back. And as Christians, and when we come into this and we are a part of this, we can't have the option of turning back to the world. We have to burn those ships. Those ships have to be burned, or we will eventually maybe carry back to that, right? We'll have that safety net of going back to what was comfortable. I remember, coaching sports and different things. There was a coach one time that he said, every time, you do all the stuff in practice, whatnot, and then when you get into the actual competition or the game, the kids will revert back to what's comfortable. Unless they can be mentally tough enough to continue to remember what they've been taught and what they've worked on, they're going to revert back to what's comfortable. And sometimes I think it's easy for us in the world to have that mindset that we could revert back to what's comfortable because there's no standard there, there's no push to be better. It's easy for people to hold on to what they know and what the world is. But we have got to cut that tie. We have to burn those ships so there's no going back. I think it's similar to a marriage. I use this in the weddings that I've done, the same story. But I know one couple that I've known pretty well. you know, they were married for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, whatever it was, I can't remember, maybe 35 years, something like that. And they did all the things, and they were together for, you know, all the time, and it was just always them. And then all of a sudden, they were divorced. And I got into it and figuring out what all was going on. They never put their bank accounts together. They had his money and her money. She had her vacations. He had his vacations. She had her friends. He had his friends. Nothing about their lives was cohesive to being one unit. What they were is roommates who signed a piece of paper. They never committed to it. They never were committed to being married to one another. Of all the years they were together, they just went through the motions and they lived their own separate lives. And that is really hard to do. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I've got things that Jane's not, you know, I coach wrestling and Jane doesn't come down to the wrestling room and hang out with the coaches and things like that. She goes, takes the kids to her friend's house and stuff. I don't go do that. And we have the same friends. We don't have different friends. You know, I know her friends and she knows my friends and things like that. But the idea is, if you know me, you know Jane. And if you know Jane, you know me. And I think if we look into this and we understand that there's no looking back when we entered that covenant. When we enter that covenant with Christ, there is no looking back. And a huge part of that is because of the anchor that we are tied to. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When there was a billboard, and it became a meme, but the billboard, and I saw one in Rapid City one time. It was a PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals billboard, and it had the list of animals. It had the sheep and the chicken and the cow and the pig, and then it had a horse and a horse and a dog and a cat, and it said, "Where do you draw the line?" And somebody took and made a meme out of that. They took a picture of the billboard, and they drew a line between the horse and the cow and said, right there is where I draw the line. I draw the line right on both sides of the cow. But they drew the line of where they were okay with eating, right? And what PETA's point was is there should be no line there. They're all animals. They all have a face. But a person drew the line and said, this is where I'm okay with. Without Christ, without that anchor, in this passage, our line is drawn after the tribulation. There is no perseverance. There is no proven character. There is no hope. The line is drawn for us if we don't have the root system. We don't end up with the hope. It gets cut out. It ends there. So how do we stay rooted? What are some things that we can do to stay rooted? Well, in Acts chapter 2, they are devoted to four things. In Acts chapter 2:42, they are devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking bread, and to prayer. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, I understand this is talking about the Lord's Supper. The context of this passage is the difference in the covenants, and the sacrifice is not anymore, and whatnot. But still, being together, encouraging one another to love and good deeds, is a huge part of staying rooted. I promise you this, that without the church, I'm not real sure where I'd be. There's a lot of help that I've had from the church. And I think that each and every one of us could look at that and say, man, without the help of the brethren, it's tough. And so I think that we have to have those things. We have to have the fellowship. We have to look into the apostles' teaching. We have to have the help of the brethren. When, I've heard of the saying that, you know, I didn't quit the church. I just quit the people. And I've seen that idea before, and I don't think anybody ever was a part of the, well, there probably is. The people that I've seen say that and things weren't really a part of the true church, but the idea that you can quit the church, but you, or the people, because you can't say you quit the people but not quit the church, because it's literally the definition of the church, is the people. And so if you quit the people that are the church, if you quit the bride of Christ, you quit Christ. And so, like, I know of some people who, you know, they had a little problem with what the preacher might have said, so they decided to quit going. Well, that makes zero sense to me. So that's like saying, hey, man, I'm in a little slump in batting now, so I'm going to quit having batting practice. Like, that makes zero sense to me. You know, I want to get good at riding horses. Well, I fell off once. Well, I'm not going to get on again. Like, makes zero sense to me. You're not going to learn how to get good at riding horses if you don't get back on. The things that we might need, sometimes maybe it's uncomfortable. Maybe there's some work that's got to go into it. Maybe the preacher said something he shouldn't have said. But just getting rid of the church as a whole and just going and doing your own thing by yourself out in the middle of nowhere is not going to solve that. That's not fixing the problem. And that is not helping you stay anchored. We need the church to stay anchored. We need that love for the brethren to stay anchored. It helps us in many ways. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we'll start in verse 3. And Matthew writes here, and he says, "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell among the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And then pop down to verse 18 of chapter 13. He explains it here. He says, "Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but he is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away." Verse 22, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, we could have basically read these five verses and kind of not had to be here for the last 25 minutes, because this pretty much explains everything that we've been talking about. But when we think about all this stuff, when we think about the things that are going to come to these roots and these trees, these plants, they're going to get weather. There's no doubt weather is going to come. They're going to get the snow. They're going to get the heat. They're going to get the hail. They're going to get the whatever else. It's coming their way. But if you go through the different ones here, there's one on whom it grows, because it found itself deep in good soil. But all of the different plants, we've had all these different plants that they received the word, didn't either didn't follow it or fell away. But if you look at all of these different seeds, they all got the same weather. Every one of them got the same heat. Every one of them got the same rain. Every one of them got the same snow, whatever it is, the wind, the bugs came. But some were rooted deep and solid in good soil, and they stood firm. It wasn't that this set of seeds got rain, and this set of seeds, you know, had a covering over it, so it never got rain, and this set of seeds got the heat, but this one didn't. They all got the same. But it was the ground in which they were rooted to that made the difference. When I was a kid, my grandmother had planted tulips up at our ranch house over the hill, and every year those tulips came back and grew, and you pull the flower off, and the next year tulips would grow back up, and you'd have the flower again. And there was actually one time I thought you need to get the whole thing, so I pulled the whole root out and everything, but one didn't grow back, but the rest of them grew back, and every year they continued to grow back. Because of the root system that they had. Outside of what you could not see, the root that it was held to underneath the ground, every spring grew a plant again, grew a flower again. If we are rooted, and we are rooted deep, and we are rooted on something great, great things can come from that. Fruit will yield from that. Flowers will be bloomed from that. Turn over to, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, we'll read, start in verse 7. He said, "Blessed is a man who trusts the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought nor cease to yield fruit." No matter what comes in life, the heat's going to come. The heat's going to come, and what matters is if our plant has stayed watered, and if it matters if our plant is rooted in good soil. Because through even the roughest droughts, even the roughest heat and the worst winds and all that stuff, if the root system is good and solid and connected, the plant will yield fruit. The plant will yield fruit. Turn over to John chapter 16. We'll close here. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Our anchor, our foundation, our root that we are attached to, the base of all things that grow, the lifeline for us in this world of tribulation, our lifeline, our root has overcome this world. I think it's something that we can take courage in, and I think it's something that we have to be intentional about. And I think that it's important that we stay rooted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this chance we have to be together, Lord. I thank you for the ability we have to know you, Lord, to be connected to you, Lord, to be in your family. Lord, I thank you so much for that gift that we have of being adopted as sons, Lord, and heirs according to the promise. Lord, I thank you so much for the chance that we have to just be with you forever. Lord, I just pray that we can take these things that we have looked at today and we can apply them to our lives, Lord, and that each day we can grow more like you. Lord, I thank you so much for Jesus and praise things in his name. Amen.